Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our pastor that comes every week so faithfully and preaches to us and loves us and cares for us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless him yet again this week. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit for the task ahead. Because we need to hear from heaven today. We want to be helped today. Help that be our prayer. Now, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would trust him in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Now, as you're sitting down this morning, find your cell phone, would you please? And as you find that cell phone, would you turn it off? We would appreciate that very much. In our church here, we have a custom that if your cell phone goes off in the service, we all stand up and point at you. Then we take your picture. All these services are fed live on the internet. We take your picture, put it on our social media site, and it goes all across the world. This is the guy or the girl whose cell phone went off in our service. Very humiliating. You don't want that. Plus, ISIS watches our program, so you'll probably get a visitation there too. So be very careful if you would. We would appreciate that. There's a question here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, before we get into what the message is, may I tell you what the truth is not? When he asked that question, he's not saying, if you neglect your salvation, God will take it away from you. You and I did not earn salvation. If you have salvation today, salvation is the forgiveness of my sin. It's the gift of God that comes through Jesus Christ because he died for us and paid for our sins, went to the grave and rose again 3 days later, and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is Jesus purchasing the gift of eternal life. To receive that, you trust him and trust that he alone is your salvation and you ask him to save you. At that very moment, God gives you salvation and eternal life. Wipes your record clean, no sin before God, gives you eternal life and claims you as one of his children. And by the way, that's just a very small part of what happens the moment you trust Christ. That salvation is a gift. It's not earned. It's not deserved. It's not worked for. The end of the service this morning, we'll have a baptismal service. These dear people getting baptized today, they're not getting saved. They've already been saved. They're not receiving salvation. Their sins are not getting washed away. They're simply following the Lord in a step of a believer's baptism and obedience in their life. Salvation is not earned. Now, here's a very simple thought. Since you cannot deserve it, you cannot undeserve it. Since you did not do anything to get it, you can't do anything to give it up. You receive it by faith. God gives it to you by faith. And the God who purchased it makes sure that he keeps it for you. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So if he's not talking about losing salvation, then what is he talking about? He's talking about, listen now, the impact on your life as a saved person. There are things you'll never escape. There's things you'll never get away from. There's things that will, listen, to escape, you understand the concept of escaping, right? You are held, imprisoned, captive, and you can't get away. The Bible says there's some certain things about your life you'll never get away from. How shall we escape if we neglect so great. If we neglect. Now, neglect in the Bible simply means to take it lightly. You know, you neglect your health and then you pay for it. They tell us that you spend the second half of your life paying for the health that you didn't take care of in the first half of your life. Yes? My sister, my sister 7 years older than I, she got her first car. We were living with my grandparents, and they neglected to tell her that there are certain things you have to do with a car, like check the oil. And she drove it for several days with the oil light on until the engine froze up, burnt up. And my grandfather said, "Didn't you know anything?" She goes, "Well, I saw the oil light, but I didn't really know what that meant." So because she neglected so great engine, she had a nice piece of junk sitting in the front of the house with a blown engine in it. Taking it lightly. "Oh, I have salvation." I know a lot of Christians who are like that. Boy, they have their salvation. They got their fire insurance. They may even have one of those fish bumper stickers on their car. If you ask them, "Are you a child of God? Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yeah, I got salvation." But frankly, to them, it's not still so great salvation. Listen, and if you neglect it, if you take it lightly, it doesn't mean you won't have it. It just simply means there are certain things in life you'll never be able to escape, which means to get away from, which means to get past, which means to get beyond, which means to set yourself free from certain things. And what are they? Well, this morning, first of all, is you'll never get away from ingratitude. Ingratitude. Is there a greater sin than a lack of thankfulness today? An appreciation for what we have and what we know? Don't you notice it nowadays? You see it. You go, my people taught me, manners, courtesy. A man never sits when a woman's standing. You always hold the door open for women and people who are older than you, and it's hard to get to find those nowadays. And then hold the door open for people older than you. When I go to restaurants and stuff, I like to have some fun with that. So I'll go into a restaurant or coming out one way or the other, and I'm standing there holding the door in the restaurant while people are coming in and going out and that kind of thing, and I'll say, "Welcome to Outback today. Hope you enjoy your lunch. Welcome today. We're glad to have you." "Oh, thank you. They think I work there." Truth of the matter is, most of the time, they just walk right past you. I mean, they don't even stop and give you a tip. They just walk in. My people taught me manners. They taught me courtesies. Please, thank you, that kind of stuff. Man, there's a great problem in America with ingratitude today. That like everything's free and freedom isn't free and nothing's free. Anything's free, there ain't nothing free. Absolutely nothing. Years ago, a king wanted to assemble the wisdom of the ages in his reign and rule. And so he hired a body of scholars, spent a huge amount of money, and had these scholars scour the world to obtain all the knowledge available in the world in his day. They spent about 15 years in this study, covered the four corners of the earth. They came back and spent another 10 years building a library to fill all the volumes of all the knowledge that was available in the world at the time that covered all the wisdom of the ages. And that's what he told them. "I want the wisdom of the ages." So they built a huge library full of all these volumes. And the king looked at it and said, "It's too big, make it smaller." So they studied another 10 years and they reduced it down to one shelf of volumes that contained all the knowledge available in the world at the time and the wisdom of the ages. And he looked at it and he said, "It's still too big, make it smaller." And they worked another 10 years and they got it down to one huge volume. And he said, "Does that contain the wisdom of the ages?" He said, "Your Majesty, as best as we can determine, yes, it does." He said, "It's still too big, I want it smaller." 2 weeks later, one of them walked up to him with a slip of paper and he read it and it said, "Ain't no free lunch. There it is, brother, the wisdom of the ages. And nothing free. Everything costs something." Are we good with that? And do we understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the appreciation for the things that we have? You say, "Well, how can neglecting my salvation cause me to be unthankful? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is no gift greater than your salvation. That's why the Bible calls it so great salvation, not so-so salvation. I wouldn't save from a so-so hell for a so-so heaven, from so-so sin that was a so-so life. That's not how I got saved. I got saved by a so great salvation from a so great hell for a so great heaven, from a so great life that needed salvation, and I got saved when I was 9. And it's still so great salvation. And you know, something happens to us and you think this ingratitude is just going to be about salvation. It won't be. After a while, we won't find reason to be thankful for anything in our life. There's no reason for thankfulness. Listen, if I asked you today, what are the top 5 things? Give me a top 5 of the things for which you are most thankful. What would be the first one? Now we're in church and you know where we're going. So you would say, oh, my salvation, Pastor Johnson. That's the way it is. But question, if I ask God, what was your top 5 things you were thankful for? The one who really knows, and I asked him, would it be salvation first on the list that God says? Because did you thank him for it today? Because you still have salvation, you understand. Now I'm 61 years old. I got saved when I was 9. That's a long time. And the truth of the matter is, but I did. I thanked him for my salvation. Now, I'm a little ahead of you because I knew where the message was going, so I could lay some groundwork. But the truth of the matter is, there's not much time that goes by that I don't thank him for the fact that he gave me salvation, a gift I could not have ever paid for, that I do not still to this very day deserve, that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to the crimson womb of Mary, was born of a virgin, walked this earth sinlessly for 33 years, took upon my sin on that Calvary's cross, and suffered the torments of hell upon his own self, went to the grave, conquered death, punched a hole through it, rose from the dead, and presented it to me as a gift that I can't pay for. Thank you, Jesus. But did you know just thankfulness for salvation will help you also then begin to preach all the other stuff? You learn to appreciate things in life. I know for some of us today, our childhood was, we all had different types of childhoods. And as you know, my church family here, you know, I grew up in this home in a drunkard, this city in a drunkard's home. Mother was a drunk, stepfather was a bartender and a drunk. And grew up in that home. And he came home, beat on us and my mother regularly. Horrible childhood. Not one you'd want to go on, and don't worry, I'm not going on Oprah, okay? Just relax. It's okay, that's my past. It's not my present. And blessed be God, it's not my future either. But you know something, dear people, to me, it just means something to come home, to come to my house with a wife that loves me, to have a home that's a home, an actual home. I didn't know what that was like when I was a kid. You live in a drunkard's home, it's not the same as everybody else's home. And I'm not taking away from anybody who never knew that. It's not like you can't be appreciative, because you ought to be. The point is this. You see, if salvation is the first thing on my list for which I am thankful, then anything else is like, oh my goodness, I have salvation, eternal life, a home in heaven, forgiveness of sin, elder brother Jesus Christ, I'm a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus, I have eternal, I've got all this stuff just because of salvation. And now I have a Bible. Now I have prayer and access to my God. And now he's made me alive. Well, there's many nights I went to bed as in a drunkard's home and heard him in there beating my mama. And I'd weep and I'd say, is this the way my life is always going to be? Is this it? I'm going to go to bed every night and hear this stuff. Hear the cursing and the swearing and the furniture busted up and everything that was going on. I thought to myself, is my life always going to be like this? Is it going to be nothing else but this? See, amazing grace, my friend. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When I was a 9-year-old boy, it wasn't a problem for me to come to Christ. I didn't have any issues with my past. I didn't go around with those, I was for a while, one of those punks with a chip on my shoulder because my life wasn't too good and blame God for it. No, I got over that a long time ago. And when somebody told me God loved me and Christ died for me, I said yes to Jesus. I trusted him and got saved. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, that's amazing to me. And that gratitude thing that comes from unappreciating and not neglecting and not taking lightly salvation, that gratitude actually pervades itself into life. Yeah, well, you're one of those guys that's cheery all the time. No, I'm not. Get around me in the morning sometime. I'm not a morning person. When I get out of bed in the morning, I want anybody to talk to me. I don't want anybody to get around me except my grandchildren. Now, my grandchildren could come in there with their little hair sticking up all over the place, got their little teddy bear in their PJs. I'm good with that one. All the rest of them, leave me alone. Don't. You call me 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to answer your telephone. If I did, I'd probably cuss at you or something. I mean, it's just, I just leave me alone. I don't want anybody to bother me. I get up in the morning. No, I don't bounce out of bed and go, glory to God, this is the day. I get out of bed and go, oh, my soul. It's Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, and pop. Oh, man. Stagger around, bumping into the walls and stuff. I mean, it's a mess. No, it's not like I'm, you know, Mr. Cheery Sunshine all the time, and I'm always happy and thankful for everything that happens in my life. I do the same thing you do. There's things that happen to me in my life, and I say, thanks a lot, you know, and I'm not really thankful. I gotcha. Oh, but if I stop and think for just a moment, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California, 9-year-old boy under conviction of his sin, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I walked away that day with the glory of God in my soul, and he gave me salvation that I did not deserve. Oh, my. And for 52 years, I have not been faithful to my salvation, but he has. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You won't escape ingratitude. Hey, look here. And you can be one of these pinch-faced people walking around mad at the world all the time. No good, you know. Friend, look at me. And you're punishing everybody around you and yourself because of your life. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Means I won't escape an indebtedness in my life. An indebtedness. I'm not talking about owing people. I'm talking about an attitude that I owe God for what I have in my life. Now, see, to some people that's a burden. They don't want to be, we call it something else. We call it responsibility. Now, that's an ugly word. I would say a four-letter word, but I can spell better than that. But responsibility. I have a responsibility because God gave me salvation. You know, I owe him something. I do. I feel like God gave me this thing of salvation, eternal life, and forgiveness, and security, and all the rest of it. You know, can I do something for him? Otherwise, we live, if we neglect it, we lay it aside, and we have no responsibility about this amazing, so great salvation, then we're never going to escape this idea of indebtedness in our life. We're going to act like no, everybody owes us something. You see these poor people, and I was abused as a kid. These poor people have been abused in their life. They go around the rest of their life making everybody else pay for what everybody else did to them in their life, and they're justifying themselves. You know something? First of all, that's very selfish. My stepfather beat my mother, and he beat us as children. He hated us. I can still remember that man, this tall, raw-boned guy with these horn-rimmed glasses, and how he loomed over us and stuff. He's a real tall guy, cursing us and telling us how much he hated us and things like that. So you must have grown with a lousy self-image, Pastor Johnson. Well, it wasn't exactly improved. Could not have wet the bed till I was in junior high school. Now, thank God, Depends helps me. But the truth of the matter is, little boy asked his grandfather, "Hey, Grandpa, what do you wear, boxers or briefs?" He goes, "Depends." Here's the thing. So we go with this indebtedness in our life. See, I kind of look out like this, people. I look out like this. See, he gave me a salvation I didn't deserve. I owe him something. Otherwise, we spend our whole life like everybody owes us. You go, hey, every relationship in your life will be tainted like that. You go into it, listen, only as long, and you'll be there as long as you get what you want. When you don't get what you want, you're out of there because they owe you something. That's not how it works. That's not what indebtedness means. See, indebtedness doesn't mean it's not a burden. It's a responsibility. See, this December, my wife, God willing, will celebrate our 40 years married. See, my dad's been married 5 times, my mother 4 times, my brother 5 times. I've seen a lot of marriages and divorce. And I'm trying to hurt people who've been divorced. I'm not at all. I understand that. I'm very compassionate about the understanding of it. So please get that clear to you in a moment. But in 40 years of marriage, I just feel like I've drug this lady back and forth across America 2-3 times, off to school, back again. And then here to start a church from scratch with no land, no building, no people, no money, nothing like that. No way to set a budget to feed a family and all this kind of stuff. I feel like I owe her something. Some kind of gratitude about things. A way to express my appreciation because of what was done for me. Look at me. If I neglect my salvation, so great salvation, that I'm going to forget this indebtedness issue. I'll never escape the indebtedness of my life. I'll never get that right. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was asked one day by one of his disciples, how many times does my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Peter said, till seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Now, last time I checked it in the old math, that's still 490 times. And that is 490 times per person, per offense. Now, the good news is, with an iPhone, there's an app for that. The 490 app. Whereby every time you forgive them, boop, you push that and it goes to 489. Thank you. And then, boop, 488 or however many numbers it goes after that. No, that's not what it means. It means you keep forgiving somebody 490 times for the same thing. Somewhere between 1 and 490, you'll let it go and you'll actually forgive them. And then Jesus gives a parable that goes with that. This man owed somebody $250 million, quarter of a billion in debt in our day. He's asked to pay the debt and he has no money. He doesn't have $250 million like most of us. And the man says, I'm going to throw you in prison till you pay your debt and your family. In other words, he just bankrupted himself and every generation of his. See, in those days you didn't pay your debt. They threw you in prison till you paid it and your family had to pay it and your kids would have to pay it and their kids and everybody else's kids till the debt was paid. And the man said, please, sir, give me some time. I'll do my best. And then the man who had the debt looked at him and said, take it off the books. I forgive you the debt. It's gone. Just like that, $250 million, just like that, gone. You don't owe me anything. Let him go. The man who has just been forgiven $250 million walks outside, meets a friend of him, owes him $2. Two. Goes to that guy and says, you owe me $2, give me my $2 or I'll throw you in prison until you pay it off. And this man says, please, sir, give me a chance to pay my $2 debt. Very familiar speech. And you know what that $250 million man did? He threw the guy in prison to get him to make him pay his $2. Jesus taught that parable in relation to forgiveness. Hey, see, if you've been forgiven a lot, then you can forgive others. Because you'll never have to forgive more than you've been forgiven for. Hey, listen to me. So you and I are the $250 million man and everybody that does anything to us is $2 worth. If you see it right, you can let it go. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because see, if you neglect so great salvation, you can't escape this attitude of indebtedness. You can't get it. You can't. You will always appreciate the fact that I was forgiven hell. That's right, hell. That's not a cuss word. That's a place. I was forgiven eternity in hell by the blood of Jesus Christ in a moment of faith in Christ. Whatever you've done to me, I can let that go. You understand? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We'll never be able to escape indifference in our life. Hey, look here. You ask the average Christian today, do you think the average problem in America is apathy and ignorance? And you know what their answer is? I don't know, and I don't care. You know the truth of the matter. That's supposed to be funny. You know the truth of the matter is, that's about it. Here we have, look here. In this room, I guarantee you, there are a whole bunch of people in this room. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have eternal life and a home in heaven. Question. And we're doing what with our life? Well, I'm going to heaven, Pastor Johnson. Good, but you notice you're still here. If all God wanted to do when he saved us was take us to heaven, then the moment you trusted Christ, he'd kill you and take you to heaven. Couldn't get a lot of converts that way, but, you know, you think about the concept. So there's some reason why you're still here after your salvation, because he saved you to serve him and do something with the life that he gave you. But way too many Christians today, they're just indifferent about the whole thing. Well, yeah, you know, you ask them, are you a Christian? You say, oh, yeah, I got myself, I'm going to heaven. You see them in Hollywood, you see them in sports. They do all this wicked stuff, but poor, they're Christians. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you be so indifferent to your life and your testimony and your reputation to promote wickedness and yet say you belong to God? And you know what the sad part of it is? If you belong to God, you're still belonging to God. That doesn't change anything. But how could we be so indifferent about the whole thing? See, I know this is old school, but just bear with me for a moment. See, I have the privilege to be a citizen of the United States of America. Thank both you Americans. I have a privilege to be a citizen of this country. Now, whether born here or you become a naturalized citizen, whatever the case may be, I happen to have been born in America, so I'm a born in the United States, born in the USA boy. Now, whenever I go somewhere in the world, I am not the least bit ashamed of the fact that I'm a United States citizen. None whatsoever. I've traveled a lot overseas and things. I've had people tell me, boy, you go to that country, you better not let people know you're an American. Tell them you're from Canada. Because they just do not like Americans. Well, then that's about the time I'm going to get me a flag and start walking up and down the streets. I mean, I'm just an American. That's the way I am. I'm not ashamed of that. It's a great privilege to be a citizen of this great nation. It is. We're not perfect, but it's still the best country on this planet. It's still the best country on this planet. Okay, good. Just check it and make sure you listen to me. Now, the point of it is this, however. See, because of that, because I received something that I did not deserve just by right of birth, that I'm a citizen of this great nation, it's amazing when you think about that. You know what? Then I shouldn't be indifferent about the fact that I am a part of this country. That this country is not here for me. I'm here for my country. That I'm supposed to do something. Kennedy's speech when he was elected about that's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, that couldn't get him elected by anybody for anything, for any reason, because people today will think America's here for them instead of them here for America. Backwards! Now, if I may depart the political arena for just a moment and bring that home to you as a child of God. Now, how can we be so indifferent about our life? We have salvation, we never go to church. We have salvation, we don't do anything for the Lord's work. We have salvation, we don't do anything about what our life is. We got our own life, we got our boats, we got our garage, we got our cars, we got our entertainment, we got our soccer teams, we got our stuff, and we play when the work of God does not get done the way it's supposed to get done. So now you're trying to make me feel guilty, Pastor Johnson. Well, if that doesn't work, maybe you don't have the same so great salvation I have. I feel like I owe him something. I don't have to go to church, I get to go to church. I don't have to do something for God, I get to do something for God. And I'm not indifferent about this thing. Say, well, that's because you're in the ministry. I understand I'm wrapped a little tight and a little different than some people. But you know something? There are a bunch of people in this room who are just as different about the world stuff and just as dialed in about what God wants as this preacher is. Man, let me tell you something. I am amazed at the effort and endeavor made by people in this church who put their 40, 50, 60 hours a week in and come here and serve and do what God wants them to do. Now, that's amazing. That's how you have clean buildings. That's how you have facilities. That's how you have ministries. That's how all that stuff, it doesn't pop up overnight. He and I don't do all the work. The staff doesn't do all the work here. Because, see, people are not indifferent about what they do here. Look, they don't just come to church to get and go home. They come to receive and then do something. It is more blessed to give than to... Yes, of course. But you know why? Because you have to, or that preacher is going to make you feel bad about yourself. No. No. Yes, I will, but I mean, that's a whole other subject. But we almost changed it to a synagogue. We got such Jewish guilt going on in this church sometimes. Okay, fine. But the truth of the matter is, no. I'm just not indifferent about the fact that he gave me salvation. Heaven's waiting for me, but there's stuff to do now. God gave you salvation to change your life so you could be a testimony and a witness for him and to do something that makes his work go forward. Hey, let's not talk about how bad society is if we're not going to do anything to make it any better. I'm not asking you to go down and join social programs and all that kind of stuff. How about just get involved in a good local New Testament church? I happen to know one. A good local New Testament church where you can get involved, serve, and help your church do its work that we do to reach people and help folks. Hey! How can we be so indifferent about it? Because we've neglected so great salvation. See, there are people in this church who serve because they want recognition. And unfortunately, they don't get enough. We should recognize more in endeavors. But there's a bunch of people in this church. You don't have to pat them on the back, massage their ego, work around them because you want to change something, and they go, well, I don't know about the congregation. There's a few that are like that, but by and large, most people, they just do what they do here because they want to do something for the Lord. Because they're not indifferent about the salvation he gave them. Come on now. One more Jewish guilt trip. Here we go. So you go home today and you decide whether you're going to come back tonight or not because of, well, I've got to get them go to work tomorrow. At 8 o'clock? 9 o'clock? You mean somewhere between 7 o'clock tonight and 9 o'clock tomorrow, you need 13 hours of sleep? See, we're indifferent about things. But if we live with the responsibility of I'm so thankful he did something like this. That's amazing to me. How shall we escape? Oh, there are certain things about life we'll never be able to get away from. If we neglect, take so lightly, so great salvation. When you grow up in a home that has poverty in it and things like it did when I was a kid, you learn to appreciate simple things. My favorite meal to this day is breakfast, lunch, or dinner. No, is fried chicken with mashed potatoes and white gravy. Can I get a witness on that this morning? I said fried chicken. I can buy it, you know, Popeyes and stuff. That's okay, but cook it with Crisco in a black iron skillet with a little nuggets settled down there in the bottom. Take that chicken out, pour off some of that, make white gravy over there with pepper and salt. Mashed potatoes, either sweet corn or green beans with bacon in it, or both. Cat head biscuits, which is not actually cutting the head off a cat. That's kind of appealing, but cat head biscuits with fresh butter in there. Homemade jam of some kind. I don't care what it is. Peach, apricot, strawberry. I don't care what it is. Oh, my. See, now look. Prime rib and stuff like that I've had, and it's all well, fine, and good. Do you give me a simple meal of fried chicken like that? I'm a happy camper. See that right there is a chicken graveyard, brother. Let me tell you something right there. Many chickens gone home to God from that right there. You sit down and have a delicious meal like that, and you say, man, that is so great. That is so great because it is so satisfying and so, and it, you say, well, it's not really good for you. It's good to you, though. It is so great. And my salvation is a what? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Well, excuse me for you getting too excited. Contain yourself. So we're not going to get up and run the aisles and that kind of stuff. But excuse me. But I'd rather see that than people who sit there and have their salvation and they just become, they've neglected it. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.